Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. From December 1st through the New Year holiday, D.C. activists are pushing for peace on the streets. They've started an initiative called No Homicides for the Holiday. This comes in the midst of a wave of deadly violence in the District of Columbia, including killings by and of young people. Well, joining me tonight to talk about this are Kenny Barnes, founder of Root Incorporated and the D.C. Peace Initiative Committee. Also here in studio with me, D.C. community activist Thomas Blanton. If you have a comment, if you have a question, and I'm sure you do, you want to talk about this issue, give us a call right now. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I invite you to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining this conversation. This is an important conversation, particularly in this most difficult time in D.C. So thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Sure. Mr. Barnes, this is not a new thing for you. You have been in a crime-fighting posture for decades in this city, particularly as it relates to the loss of your son more than 20 years ago when he was killed while running his boutique on U Street. Before we talk a little bit about why this kind of initiative is important to you, talk to me about No Homicides for the Holidays.
Of course, and I need to make one correction. I'm the chair of my D.C. Peace Initiative for the Rotary Club of Washington, D.C.
Ah, okay.
I just need to make that correction. The reason why it's important, not just to me, but to us, is five of us, that we got together, a young man by the name of David Crocker called all of us and said we need to do something. We have, like, unchecked violence going on in the streets of Washington, D.C. Speaking for myself personally, my son was murdered 21 years ago. When he was murdered, death by gun violence was the number one killer of African-American males in the United States of America. And gun violence was rampant in D.C. 21 years later, death by gun violence is still the number one killer of African-American males in the United States of America. And gun violence is rampant in D.C. Now, that seems to me we haven't learned a lot. And something is wrong. And I think we can talk about what I feel wrong as we go along.
With that, you know, said Thomas, when you say no homicides for the holidays, is this wishful thinking? Is it, can that be really achieved, or is it just a hope?
What's the message of Christmas?
Oh, that's a whole show. You want to talk about Jesus and the whole bit? You know, they say Jesus is the reason for the season. Right. But you got folks out here who just shopping and doing that other stuff.
How many people challenge that Christmas is about peace?
Yeah.
It was amazing when Dave called me. We'll talk about the history later, but we hadn't seen each other in a couple of years. But Dave recently experienced the death of one of our colleagues in the Carpenters Union. And his spirit was, I just got to do something. Mm-hmm. Who wants to be mourning the loss of a loved one during the holidays? At the very least, we want to enjoy our families, we want to have some peace, and we want to pursue life. At the very least. Can we have some peace during the holidays? We're not Pollyannish about this. Mm-hmm. Look at our ages, combined ages at the table. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're tired. Our families are tired. Our communities are tired. You know, we were talking a few minutes ago about our cities. It's not just Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Get on the road. You know, go anywhere across the country. People are tired. It's coming out of COVID, you know, we lost loved ones. We're losing people to violence, people being locked up in jail. They were talking about today dementia in jail. Brothers who got locked up, you know, in the drug trade period, you know, be 60, 70 years old and be in prison now. You know, you take orders, you take yes from your boys. You know, people are stressed out. What's the message of Macy's parade? Go out and buy something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get to the hospital, you know, get to the store, go out and buy something. People want some peace.
But I would argue that if you just take a look at just some of the things that have happened in the metropolitan area just over the past week, the shooting at the Benning Road Metro Station, where we are talking about teenagers involved, right, and some of the carjackings, for example, it was just a carjacking. And the police released video of the suspects. All of these suspects look to me to be under the age of 16. I mean, let's be honest. Right. It doesn't appear that any of those people are thinking about Jesus and the reason for this season.
No, not at all.
I'm not sure what we're presenting when we see those.
Mm-hmm. You know,
all of that, that's a part of the stress that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing all those murders. We're seeing these kids. One other day, it was a 14 or 15 year old.
Yes,
you know, that unloaded on somebody.
Yeah, that's right. That, I mean, if you even look out into Prince George's County, the suspect in the shooting at Suitland High School was 14. The person who was shot in the hand was 14.
Right.
So we're talking youth. But please continue.
So what we're raising here are those incidents. What we are raising as a coalition, what is the alternative to those incidents? We all have suffered. And we all see those incidents. What are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
What can be done about it? I am pleased that Dave stepped forward and said, Thomas, what are you going to do about it? You know, Kenny, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
We're willing to come together to do something about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And let me say what I feel, and I agree with what Thomas just said. We're not Pollyannish. While we were doing a press conference, what you just mentioned, while we were doing a press conference on Thursday about no homicides for the holidays, four people getting shot. What we feel is that we are not getting enough attention. By that I mean press coverage does a lot after the fact about people being shot and people being murdered. But we don't do a very good job of understanding what it's like for our families. I have a lady that works for me as a son. In the last month, her son has lost three people best friends grew up with, shot, murdered. So this mother is worried about her son every day of the week. We don't understand that. We need to understand that violence is learned behavior. We need to understand, like my organization, the root, what's the root causes? And I feel that not enough tension in our city. I think we do a very good job of reacting to violence. Something violent happens, we react. But I don't feel we do a very good job of preventing violence in our city. I also don't think that we do enough comprehensive approach where everybody is working together. I'm sorry to say, but we have a city sometimes, even when we're working to try to solve violence and gun violence. And like you say, I've been doing this for years, that sometimes we get like crabs in a barrel. That this organization doesn't want to work with this organization, or this government agency will not speak to this government agency, and we'll never solve a situation like that. So I'm thinking that we need to let everybody know this is what's going on. Our children are being murdered, and we don't feel enough is being done.
Yeah. Most people don't know.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about No Homicides for the Holidays initiative that was launched last week to push peace on the streets in the District of Columbia. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kenneth.
Yes.
Calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Season's greetings and happy holidays to everybody.
All right. Thank you so much.
I just would like to say, You know, we just, 35 miles up the road from you all?
Yeah.
And Baltimore's on the warpath up here. This killing, this black-on-black homicide, it's a serious public health crisis, not just in D.C., not just Baltimore, but it's a public health crisis, in my opinion, across the nation.
Yeah.
Young people, but predominantly teenagers involved in all of this killing. And we just had several incidents up here this week of kids showing up in school with guns. What are we going to do about this? This things have really gotten out of control. And do y'all have squeezy kids over there?
Not like you do in Baltimore. I live in Baltimore, so no, we don't have, you know, the squeegee kids in D.C., but I see them all the time.
So my heart goes out for the brother that lost his son, but I'm telling you, every day, I don't know what to say about it because, Where they getting the guns from? I don't know, and let's stop blaming it on drugs. Let's stop blaming it on it because the drugs it's not killing people. It's that, you know, well, the drugs are killing people. I like to change that, but I'm saying it's the people killing each other. And what's going on with these younger generation of youth that they're going around killing one another? Like
And Kenneth, that certainly is the issue. And thank you so much for your passion on this critical issue. Thomas, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, most people don't know the number of programs and activities that are working with our kids.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow, Tyrone, Alliance of Concerned Black Men, is going to lead an 8-hour radio broadcast talking about those people who work in the community with our children. They did an excellent show today and launched a program called Experience Lab. These where people are working. You know, when we built the collaboratives in this area in particular, but there were 7 collaboratives across the city, they are still in existence. Georgia Avenue, you know, Edgewood, all across town, Southeast. People don't know that, you know. And the media doesn't focus on the alternatives. What do we do about our stress? One of the guests that was initially thought about here works with women. You know, we talk about that all the time. And people do something about that. You know, there are people in my neighborhood today who gave over at least $400 in gift cards to CFSA. How many people know that?
I sometimes take a different point of view than Thomas. To address what Kenneth said first, Kenneth said one key point, that violence is a public health issue, and we need to address it that way. And in a public health model, oh, by the way, I need to mention that I'm a clinical psychologist. So violence is a public health issue, number one. I kind of disagree with Thomas and all these people out here that they've been saying they're doing this. I'm not saying nothing is being done. But what I'm saying is, if it's successful what you're doing, then why is it just the same 21 years later if what you're doing is successful? That's what I have an issue with. Because obviously it's not successful. I'm not saying there are not organizations out here that are not helping people. Please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, there's not a comprehensive approach where this organization over here may be doing something and this organization over here doesn't know what this organization is doing, nor do they want to work with this organization over here.
But let me say this, because the young people who were doing the killings are not concerned about whether or not the organizations are working together or not. And I would submit that it's one thing where you have crimes of commerce, drugs, robberies, and the like. But then the other, and that I think that's one issue. But then you have this issue where people just seem to react with deadly violence over beefs, arguments in the street. No, and I use this Benning Road situation, for example. I don't, from the reporting, I don't think that was a robbery. It was there was some kind of conflict, and I think all of these deadly incidents of deadly violence are horrible. But the thing that's really striking to me is things that escalate from a disagreement to deadly violence, and I think we have a lots of incidences of that. Thomas, your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I don't want to get myself in trouble.
This is the good trouble show.
I'm originally from Dallas.
Okay.
Okay. I grew up. I'm 71 years old. You know, Dallas was murder capital first.
Yeah.
Before D.C. and right after Detroit. Okay. And I came up on this one in the barbershop the other day. The only reason I wasn't guilty of shooting somebody is because we missed him.
Mm-hmm.
You get my bitch?
I understand. Yeah.
14, 15 years old. That's what we did.
But why did you do it? And I think
because
that,
we were stupid kids.
I like to talk about that.
We were stupid kids.
Even
though having grown up in a church, even though having taught Sunday school, you know, hanging out at 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, what do? You pack with your boys. Hmm. You know, you go to the other side of town. Mm-hmm. You know, you move product. That is what you did.
Yeah.
You know, and if your parents caught you, yeah, they would stop you, but they had to catch you first.
Yeah. Kenny, I'm going to let you respond to that in just a bit, but I've got to take a break. And we've got a lot of people on the phone, and I'm going to get to you as well. That includes Candace from Frederick, Maryland, Jerry calling from D.C., Lily calling from D.C., Anthony calling from D.C. Please do not hang up. I promise I will get to you. The number 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting in or getting through, please keep trying. I'm going to clear the lines. We're going to get those comments in, but stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about no homicides for the holidays. It is an initiative just started in D.C., an attempt to keep peace on the streets during the holidays. My guests are Kenny Barnes, founder of Root Incorporated and chairman of the D.C. Peace Initiative Committee with the Rotary Club of Washington, D.C. Did I get that right, Kenny?
You got it right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Also, D.C. community activist Thomas Blanton. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kenny, I've not forgotten that I want you to get to your point, but I want to get to some of these phone calls. Let me go to Jerry. Jerry calling from D.C. Jerry, quickly, what's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing, Harold? And panel, guest panel. Hey, look, I'm 54 years old, born and raised in D.C. I'm from Edgewood. Life has been changed and turned around, all that right there. I'm going to touch on all levels.
Well, keep it short. We've got a lot of people on the line.
Right. I understand. One, you're not going to be able to dissuade any murder during the weekend unless it's extra big. Cold and ain't nobody outside. Other than that, it's not gonna happen. Two, we need to do to get these kids on track. One, it starts at the home, as you know, Harold. Two, we need the juvenile justice system. It has to be revamped, turned around. You can't allow juveniles to go out commit adult crimes and have no consequences, and then get released and back out in society to do it again. And that's basically what needs to happen. It has to happen at the home front, and it has to happen on the judicial level. Because my wife's a juvenile PO for D.C., and we see this every time, every day, case after case. Judge, release the juvenile back into society after they committed horrific crimes.
Well, hold on, Jerry. Let me ask you. You say your wife is a juvenile probation officer.
Yeah.
What does she say should be done?
She says that the judges need to be tougher. They are the probation officers are recommending for all the juveniles that commit serious crimes. They're recommending that they be stepped back, not released.
Step back. You mean, what does that mean? Yeah.
Step back means that we're going to remand you to the custody of the state of Washington, D.C., of the juvenile system.
Okay, let's make it plain. Are you saying, your wife is saying, lock them up? Because,
yeah.
Okay, that, I mean, yeah. let's call a spade, because there are a whole lot of people who would agree with that point of view, but then you have a whole lot of other people who were saying, what's happening with our babies? And they need help, and they need services, and they need counseling, and all of these kinds of things. And the problem, I think, with that, you've got the counseling folks on one side, and the lock 'em up folks on the other side, and the mental health folks on the left side, and the guns on the street folks on the right side, and never the twain shall meet.
Now, here's the thing, Earl, about that. They both sides are correct. We do need both sides to come to the table. As you said, we can't have one agency not dealing with another agency because they don't like this agency or whatever the case may be. That cannot no longer happen in okay. order for this to work.
Well, look, yeah. Jerry, I've got to let you go because I've got to get some other folks. But tell your wife that she is doing the Lord's work and to hang in there. So thank you so much.
Real quick,
and then okay. Kenneth, and then I got to go
what
back to the
lines.
What
you said is absolutely not true. The Juvenile Justice Roundtable has been meeting. I know Nancy. I met Nancy Ware in 91, and she just retired. We have a coordinated juvenile justice plan. How many people are in D.C.?
You okay.
There were 209,145 soldiers who fought in the Civil War that ended up in our freedom. There were 4 million slaves.
Okay. But so, I get it, but see, go ahead, Kenneth, please.
I'm going to have to correct something. I know that the juvenile justice, I know about that. I served on it under Nancy Ware. The Juvenile Justice Roundtable is with law enforcement people. There's not community people on there. And so they solutions come from a law enforcement perspective. I need to straighten that out first. Number one, and I know Nancy Ware very well. She's the director of Six Oaks now. Secondly, it's a couple of things. We were talking about, we need to understand the root causes. As I said earlier, violence is learned behavior. And this gentleman just brought up a point. We need to look into the home. What's going on in the home? Because what we're doing in this city now, we got DURS, for example, and I've worked with DURS. They will have children sitting with a counselor, children determining what kind of prognosis that they're doing. Family and mothers nowhere around. You cannot work with youth and you do not understand what's going on in the family. Number one, you cannot. Number two, when you do intervention or prevention, you know, if it's not reinforced, psychology 101, violence not reinforced, it disappears. And then the third thing I mentioned earlier, when I'm talking about prevention, we know as psychologists that the transition to violence begins to take place from early school to middle school. In other words, Earl, you can go into a playground and you see young kids, they get along fine together. But as they start to grow and get older, that transition begins to take place. What we don't do enough of, or hardly of, we need to go into the schools early while these young children's brains and minds are developing. And we need to take programs in early. I have been personally talking about violence as a public health issue for almost 20 years. Nobody's been paying attention. People are talking about it now, but they're not doing it. And one more thing that this gentleman said. The young man that murdered my son, he was with YSA. He was in the YSA system.
YSA?
It was called YSA then.
Youth Service
Administration. Okay. Mm-hmm. And for you people that don't know, it was my activism that changed YSA to DYRS. That's another program, Merrill. But the fact that this young man was in this system, and it was a newspaper article, front page article about it, called Home's the Last Resort, that this young man had murdered two other people before he murdered my son. And the YSA had let him, well, he had escaped at least three or four times. Nobody bothered to go find him or anything. And he had murdered two other people. So yes, we do need to understand what's going on when within the systems, what's working with our youth. We need to get connect families more together. And we really need to understand toxicity within families.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That is the thing. And I think, you know, the other thing that you shared about where this begins to develop from, you know, from playground to pugilism, if I may.
Yes.
Then, and all the things that come after that is really, really critical. And you're trying to get to the kids, but you also got to get to the parents, because if the parents
exactly.
have the attitude,
exactly.
don't let nobody punk you.
Exactly.
It's one thing with fisticuffs; it's another thing with firearms. But let me go back to the phone lines. Candace calling from Frederick, Maryland. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Good evening, everyone. So my only question that I have is: I hear a lot of talk of agencies now working together and press conferences and all these meetings, but what is actually being done in the streets? What are the boots on the ground that's being done? I'll just be hearing a lot of, to me, just excuses as to why things aren't being done. What is actually being done? Here we are December 13th and there are still shootings going on, and you guys have a timeline for the month, but they're still shooting. So what is being done?
Thomas, you want to address that?
I have been doing this, and since we're talking about this season, I'm just going to cut it to this season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I participated in the Diverse Fund. You know, we had over 62 applications of organizations in the DMV doing positive work. You know, we gave out over $280,000. You know, last week, the Washington, D.C. Alumni Foundation raised $30,000 for about five organizations working with families, working with women, working with children. There's a lot being done. I didn't want to go this far right away. But look, people, we are under a lot of pressure from societies, from systems that we don't control. You know,
talk about that a little bit more.
I'm not sure people are ready to talk about that.
No, I'm ready.
This is not a reparations genocide discussion.
But that's what we need to hear.
I'm as left as anybody around the table in the city.
Let me stop you for a minute. When you were talking about all of those things that you all were just doing in reference to the money, and you said you're working with families, what does that work look like? Right.
Sitting at the table,
mm-hmm.
going to their table, telling them how to talk to, again, just using the experience lab that came on the radio today. You know, kids are being talked to. Kids coming in with their problems with death, with things that are in school. How do you handle that? How should you have handled that? How do you feel? There are programs like that. You know, the issue that I'm trying to just present simply is
mm-hmm.
inform yourself of the neighbor's house that is the safe house. You know, the neighbor across the street from me has three children. You know, they realized that we had raised three children. You know, they said, if you ever have a problem, go to the Blanton's house. What is the house on your block? You know, what is the church on your block that you can go to? How many churches have daycare programs? How many rec centers do we go to? One of the simplest things we can do is populate our recreation centers. You know, again, just appreciate the resources and the need to inform yourself as to what is happening. You know, it is very easy to sit and say nothing is happening when you don't know.
Let me directly answer this.
Real quick, and then I've got to go back to the phone.
Okay, let me directly answer this young lady's question. My organization, Ruth, we had a program in the Cedar Heights community. Now, if any of you out there know Cedar Heights, that's a rough neighborhood. We went into the Cedar Heights community with our model about prevention. It was called Communities in Action. We set up, they have a community center. When we went to Cedar Heights, there was homicides that were violent. When we went out there, three years, we were there, no homicide, no gun violence. There was gun violence around Cedar Heights, but not within Cedar Heights. When we did that, and then guess what happens? We don't get any more funding. So when you ask, ma'am, are there solutions? Yes. But if you have people at the top that don't want to listen to your solutions, and the definition of insanity is you want to do the same thing over and over again. That's the point I was making earlier in this show. The same solutions that were being used 20 years ago are the same solutions that's being used now. Mm. That's the point I'm trying to make. And there are solutions if you want to listen to what they are. But you have to ask the leaders at the top. Okay.
Well, let me go back to the phone lines. Candace, thank you so much. Let me go to Lily. Lily calling from D.C. Lily, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Good evening, everyone.
Hi.
First of all, I just want to thank for the opportunity to speak. I totally agree with the importance of organizations working together. And I am a firm believer in prevention, opposed to always crisis intervention.
Right.
I am a licensed social worker, and I'm very much interested in finding out how we can all work together, come together with some ideas. I have some ideas, but I would like to work with someone so that we can get these ideas out there, not just say, okay, we did this and did that, but actually do the work. Our young people are in trouble. And it's up to us to make a difference. And I truly believe that we can.
Yeah.
So I would like to know, those of us who are interested in working with organizations, come together as one, how do we do this?
Thomas,
go, looking at who has money.
Hold on, Lily. Thomas is going to respond, and then I'm going to go to another call. Thomas,
let's,
please go
let's
right
just
ahead.
Just use the conversation between you and I, what we're about to have. Where do you live? What neighborhood
I live in Washington, D.C.
Okay, no, what neighborhood do you live in?
I live in the Petware area.
Okay. What is your preference to work in? Citywide, neighborhood, church, school? Like, what is your preference?
My preference is
community. Oh, you don't have to holler at me.
See, this is the thing. I have worked in with juvenile delinquents. Currently, I'm working with kids in foster care.
Okay.
I'm a crisis counselor.
So give me some idea of the amount of time that
really
you are willing to
that
do.
That. We have to do the work. We got to stop talking.
So hold on, Lily. Let's get to the point. So as Thomas is asking, where would you like to work? I think he's trying to get to a point. So please go ahead.
And this kind of conversation that Lily and I are having, people need to have. You know, where do you work? What are your skills? What's your contribution? What do you want to do? There are programs and places that can utilize anybody who wants to do something. You know, how many libraries do we go into?
Well, let me just go to Lily.
Because I've got to get to the other.
Lily, take my phone number.
Well, what I'll do is I'll post it.
Yeah.
Please
call us.
Yeah, I'll post contact information, because Thomas, you also have contact information. So as always, Lily, for all of the programs, all of the Daily Drum programs, they'll be on WHUR.com after 8:30. And that way you will be able to reach out to Kenny Barnes or Thomas Blanton.
Right.
And that way you can either join them
or
maybe they can encourage you to start your own.
Exactly.
Because, ideally, there's never too much in a community. There's never enough, I should say, in a community. And, you know, sometimes it's...
And we have so many talented and educated people in D.C. Everybody doesn't have to work at the community level. We need people at the policy level. We need people at the Congress level.
One person at a time.
I spent 2 hours today at the National Museum. You know, black folks.
Mm.
You know, the African Summit people, they had booths and educational material all over the lobby of the museum. How many people know that?
Yeah.
If you could just walk your kid through there today, you would have exposed yourself to at least 10 different African countries and their representatives. You know, okay, they won't get the whole thing. You know, my granddaughter said, whose idea of fun was this? She was 7 years old. But you got to do what you got to do.
But she will remember the 7
years
from
she's
now.
She's 14 now, and the best days that she had in the summertime were time that she spent with us.
Lily, thank you so much for giving us a call. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony calling from D.C. Anthony, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me. What I'd like to say is I think I've heard a lot of the comments and suggestions. I think what we, well, no, I know what we haven't touched on is the social media. That the kids nowadays, they have access to media, which we didn't have back in the day. I'm 38 years old. I grew up in the Edgewood, Brentwood area. And back then, you listened to rap. You watched videos, but it wasn't a lot of, it wasn't guns in the videos. And you also had to visualize from watching movies and what the rappers were talking about. Nowadays, you can go on YouTube, you could go on Instagram, and you can see young guys rapping about gun violence, and they're also showing a lot of guns in those videos. And now we have this drill scene rap where they go back and forth after shooting one kid, and then the other group put it in a rap song, and they go back and forth, and that's what's really sparking a lot of the violence amongst the younger generation. The carjacking that come from a lot of the kids in their 20s paying the young guys to carjack so they can go and do a shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of this trauma, it does start in the home, but the thing is that you have a lot of young kids, young women having kids, and the babies are raising the babies, and they're friends with their kids, and they're sharing, they're friending each other on social media, and they're doing a lot of TikTok and everything. So,
well, let me stop you there, because I think you've made a really, really good point about about the impact of social media.
Excellent point, Anthony.
Yeah, and that's social media as a whole is new, but what we see on social media is not new, because what he was just talking about babies having babies, and the kind of competition that often ends up in deadly violence, that's not new. It's just the way in which that information is delivered is the new thing. But we're still seeing it. You know, at the time, you know, Kenny, that you lost your son, there was no social media, not as it was then. And that was back in 2001. But You know, growing up in and around D.C., there was no social media when Rafael Edmonds was king.
I'm glad you said his name first. No. I was trying not to say it.
No, well,
do, I mean, do the math on my,
you know,
living style and my living life in D.C.
Yeah.
80s on P Street. Where was Rafael's boy, Tony Lewis? Around the corner. You know, my son said, do the math. You know, I'm 71. My son is 48.
Mm-hmm.
You know. On P Street, 3rd and P Street, Bates Street. What did it take to make him a diplomat in India now? Knowing the schools, knowing the rec centers, driving to Fort Lincoln. You know, my kids used to think they owned Fort Lincoln. They said, can we go to our park? I said, say what? You know, I take them to Fort Lincoln Park. And I don't want to use too much of me, because a lot of parents did that. You know, people talk about, but they don't own up. How many people came to the 63 March in Washington? 300,000 maybe?
Mm.
Okay, how many people were in D.C.?
Yeah.
Okay, people talk about that. Be honest with yourself, and you might pass it on to your children.
Yeah. Anthony, thank you. Thank you so much for your input. Real quick, Miss Rose, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, my son was murdered in September 2020. What I want to do, I've been saying it for a long time, I want to do a mom's walk for the gun violence from our children being murdered. from, I guess, through each of the hoods, like Southeast, Northeast, Northwest, and had somebody be on a motor walk. I mean, speaking to them, you know, somebody like Furcon, somebody that can get to the young generation. Maybe that's what we need, because I remember when we was kids, when Furcon spoke, a lot of people was listening to him. And to see if we can get the, some of the violent interrupters over here in Southeast, because I don't see any, because they still shooting up the buildings because they see somebody from the hood. And it don't make any sense. A little boy just the other day got shot. They shot up my mother's building. And it just because they see somebody in the building and his hoes all in it and missed a little boy head. So I was wondering if somebody can help me do a mother's walk.
So the most effective coalition of mothers that I know, the Mother's Coalition, of whose children were shot by police. And Harris, Wiles, and Dream, whose children and families were shot by police, not by other people. Read the Washington Post the other day. Over 7,000 black children are shot in the country and is not reported to the FBI because a just shooting is determined by the administrator. If you pull out a gun on a cop and you shoot somebody, your supervisor can say that it was the right to shoot. It's not even reported. You know.
But we're talking about two different issues. Because gun violence by police is a subject for another show. We're talking about right now about Washington, D.C., and the amount of youth being killed in Washington, D.C. Right. And let me say this. Right. Washington, D.C., I personally know the chief of police. I personally know the chief of police before that. And before that, we do not have a problem in Washington, D.C., of police killing youth. Fortunately, in our city, we don't have that problem. So we need to, once again, and I just keep getting back to this point, Earl, that we need to understand root causes before we're going to be able to answer this lady's question and others' question. We need to understand what's causing this.
Right.
What's causing these youth to be so violent. So we need to understand that. And when you understand that, you got to start beginning at the home first. Violent, you can look at most of these children, and I don't have the statistics in front of me right now, but you find that most young people that commit violence have had violence committed on them. You will find that out when you do the research. And so we need to understand that. And we cannot wait for violence interrupters to wait till somebody gets shot. And then they go in and try to mediate or whatever. We need to get with our children young and with our families young. That's where the beginning has to be. We are not doing that.
But let me, with all due respect to the, you know, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan and to walking and marching and everything else, I would challenge anyone that marching does what, and I would also say that I would say that the ministers on the street and the brothers on the street with the final calls and the bean pies may be more influential than Farrakhan himself, because those are the brothers who were on the streets and
right,
others.
One of them.
Right. But what I'm saying, I need to put a fine point on it, that you know, leaders, whether it be Farrakhan or whether it be I had brain lock, Reverend. National Action Network.
Mm-hmm. How many marches have you participated in?
That's my point.
I
cover them, okay. So I'm not marching.
Right. Let me finish my point.
My point is, do 13 and 14 year olds know who Minister Farrakhan is? Do the 13 or 14 year olds who are wielding these guns know who Al Sharpton is, or do they know?
And neither do they care.
Yeah, that's my point.
They don't care about Al Sharpton.
And so to Kenny's point, I go back to the root cause. If you're going to march, you need to march into the homes where these problems may be and sit down and talk to parents.
Are we really that confused?
Okay. I don't think
the
it's
three confused. Of us. Are we the three of us?
I don't think it's confused. I'm
trying to decide whether or not to use his name or not. But a very high official.
I mean,
A very high official in C. Sosa went with his parents to the March on Washington.
Okay.
If he's working today, you can imagine how young he was then.
Okay.
He is proud of that, and he is proud of his service.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't be.
I'm not just proud of the march, but it instilled within him. Get up off your duff and do something.
Well, if you're going to march.
I'm not
going to
argue with you.
No, you should. This is a conversation. This is a platform for argument and debate.
What we need to do, let me say this. I spoke at the second march. I didn't speak at the first.
I did too.
I spoke at the second march on stage, okay? And how I spoke, how good, that's another question. But let's talk about this. It was wonderful for what Minister Farrakhan did. No question about it. But what follow-up came from it? Nothing. Nothing. Let me finish. Except a pride that happened.
I've got a minute. And like I said, you know, Ms. Rose, I appreciate that you want to march, but I would argue that marches are less effective than having conversation. And I think that's my point of view.
You go to Thanksgiving dinner? You go to Thanksgiving dinner?
Yes, I did.
You eat everything on the table? Or you eat what you like?
Yeah. Look, Ms. Rose.
If you didn't contact me. Yeah, I will work.
The information will be on our website. But okay. Ms. Rose, keep pushing for activism in your community because we need more Ms. Roses out there speak up.
That's right.
I'm out of time, but I want to thank both of you, Kenny Barnes, Thomas Blanton. Thank you so much for talking to us. Good luck with what you're trying to do. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, December 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.